Our responsive reading is in our hymnal, and I hope it's very familiar to a lot of people. It's a poem by Mary Oliver. It's called Wild Geese. I'm going to be our first reader, and then you will be the response together. And if you know it by heart, that's even better. You do not have to be good.
You do not have to walk on your knees for 100 miles through the desert, repenting.
You only have to let the soft animal of your body love what it loves.
Tell me about despair, yours, and I will tell you mine.
Meanwhile, the world goes on.
Meanwhile, the sun and the clear pebbles of the rain are moving across the landscapes, over the prairies and the deep trees, the mountains and the rivers.
Meanwhile, the wild geese, high in the clean blue air, are heading home again.
Whoever you are, no matter how lonely, the world offers itself to your imagination, calls you like the wild geese, harsh and exciting, over and over announcing your place in the family.
How many folks are familiar with that reading? My mom has it on a poster up in a room in our house where I grew up. It's so good to be with you all this morning. I know we've spent some time welcoming one another already, but I'm just so glad to be with you all, and I really wanted to be able to share that sense of excitement and to thank you for your hospitality. I know some of you probably have lived in Southern California for quite some time, and you know in the LA area, we watch through the end credits because we know somebody who was on the third production crew or who sang in the choir for the, you know, something at the end credits. So we're like watching all the way to the end. And when I arrived today, I just had a sense that there were some end credit people. Credits, because we know how many people it takes to support a community that is so committed to living our values in the world. And I kid you not, I was thinking about that as I was driving in, and when I got here, I overheard a conversation that I think had to do with toilet seat covers. Because that is the level of detail that this community is committed to. And I just want to say, in the end credits, somebody is taking care of the restrooms for all of us.
Got you covered.
That's right. Someone is going to lock up after all of us have left after the last meeting today. And I just thank you so much. One of my mentors says, thank you for your hard work and thank you for your heart work and the way that it keeps us bound up in one another's lives, which is what I want to talk with you about today. I'm really glad to be here. In fact, I think you all are glad to be here. Can you turn to the person next to you and say, I'm so glad you're here today. So glad you're here today. I'm so glad Anthony is here today. You can keep going for just a minute or two more. I'm so glad you're here today. I'm glad you're here today. I'm glad you're here today if you are always here. I'm glad you're here today if this is you haven't been here in a minute. I'm glad you are connecting a little bit past the time. People need to connect, you all. People need to connect. And if this is your first or second or third time here, I'm particularly glad that you are here today because I think your presence is a form of generosity. I think your chatting is just a reminder that I missed my cue. I asked for it. It was me. You were real quiet. And then I started it. All right. So presence is a form of generosity. And in these times, we have this impression that it is new to us, that we're the first ones who were really distracted by the world. I'm not sure that's the case, but boy, we've gotten better at distracting one another with our devices, with our divisiveness in these times, and there's a lot that's clamoring for our attention. So the reality that people gather in communities like this one and offer one another our presence is something that's really special. I hope you know how special that is and how generous it is. When I think about devices, I can't get away from generative AI. Is it generative, friends? We're going to find out in the future. But this idea that we can give one another our attention and be present, offer not just our witness to the things that are so hard about our lives, but our withness, our ability to be with one another, to carry each other, I think it's really special. But I think it takes practice. And that practice of being together in community and offering one another our presence is something that we need help with. There's a beautiful thinker and a scholar, Diana Butler Bass, who has studied religious communities for many years. Mostly Christian communities, our cousins. And I couldn't actually find the exact reference, even with generative AI, but I have this memory that her research has really been focused on what is bringing people together in congregations and in churches in these times when we know fewer and fewer people are choosing this way of getting together. And she thinks that in the past, it was a sense of obligation. People really felt like we owed it to each other in some way, that we had a debt that we needed to pay. There was a theology that was supporting that as well for some of us. And we've been freed from that, many of us, which I think is a good thing. For some people, it also might have been just a force of habit, that we were raised in a certain way to do a certain thing, and that can be good too. That can be a good habit. But if you're not motivated by that anymore, what is it that we are coming together to do? And according to Bass's research, she thinks it's an experience we want to have. She says we want to be in the presence of the holy. And the question we ask our teachers, our rabbis, our ministers, our spiritual leaders is, can you put me in the presence of the holy? Unitarian Universalists have such a long and a beautiful tradition of looking for the holy in one another and in the world around us. We are seekers through and through. I'm not even sure some of us necessarily want to find it. We just want to keep looking. Because we love that journey, that seeking, that curiosity, that focus on what might still be unfolding in the world. I love it. And we come into this place and we sit together and we listen to stories together and we breathe together. Can you take a breath with me? And if you're feeling like this is an invitation that would work for you, would you put a hand on your heart, your generous heart? Feel that presence of a community coming together. Breathe in that presence, and it doesn't have to be an outside thing. It can be, that can be beautiful, a spirit of love, a spirit of life, or God. Let's just breathe into this presence, this hour we have shared together, which will not come again. With our hands on our generous hearts, it's been beating for us our whole lives. It's going to keep beating until we draw our last breath. What a wonder. You can keep your hand there, you can put it back down, but that generous heart, that's what I wanted to hold with you today. It's circulating our blood through our bodies. It's a generous act. I don't think it's doing it on purpose, but it's still pretty generous. That gift of life that we did not earn or create, but that we have anyway. This breath, this community, together, here, now. The heart is such a giving metaphor for love in our lives, for deep feeling, for how it feels to be full up with life. And that is a feeling that is so easy to share. It's hard not to share. My family and I live in Santa Monica, which of course has our famous Santa Monica Pier on the shores of the mighty expanse of the Pacific Ocean. And of course, I drive by it much more often than I ever go down to the water. But I always intend to go down and put my toes in those bright, cold waves. And when I get down to the shoreline, past the fruit vendors and the people with their dogs and the folks who are living outside, also part of the Santa Monica Pier experience, when I get down there, sometimes when I look out at the water, I see dolphins. And when I see those dolphins, if I am there by myself, I immediately look around for a stranger. Like, Oh my gosh, they're dolphins. And that stranger better look at those dolphins. And they do. Because joy wants to be shared, especially the joy that is a gift. We didn't ask for it. I didn't call those dolphins in. But when they were there, it was so easy to bring someone in with that joy. And I think about it, some of you maybe have been watching the Olympics. Anyone watching the Olympics? And we are being invited in to such joy. Now, a lot of disappointment too, which I'll talk about in a minute. But I actually, I was with my son last week. He is training for the LA Marathon. He's 13. And his older sister did it, so there you go. And he did a 30K. There's probably some runners here who understand. I didn't know. It's 4 hours of running. I do not do this. This is something I cheer for. But we were at the finish line with thousands and thousands of students. And, you know, I'm a mom and I'm nervous that they're going to be, like, not doing well. They were doing awesome. And there was a, the last finish line was down a hill. And there were so many families cheering on their students coming down that hill. They've been running for 4 hours. But when they got down there, do you think that they were like limping across the finish line with all those? They started sprinting. And it's like our hearts were gonna explode for these kids. And it's like, why even do that? Is my question. But the joy that they brought to that whole community, it's like I wanted to bottle it, which is not the way joy works, but it was shared with so many people. And sometimes when I see those athletes, the extraordinary things they're doing, and you know, they do fall down. I know he can land those jumps. He's landed those jumps 100 times. I know he wasn't able to do it yesterday or whenever, but what a tremendous gift to share with us that story, to bring us in to what's possible, and even when it doesn't go right, still to be part of each other's lives, generating that sense of vitality, of connection. It's hard to watch when they fail, but it's also incredible to know what they've done. And I know this is true in my own life too, that it's easy to share the joy, not so easy to share the sorrows. I know your community was holding some sorrows today, and I'm so glad for the bravery it takes when we have hard times to bring them to the altar of our community and to say, I do need help, and I'm going to ask for it, whether or not I get it. So I want to say, I know it's hard to hear our sorrows. It's hard to see those athletes fail. It's hard, but it's what we need to do in community. The poet Ross Gay writes about entanglement. He says we are wrapped up in each other's lives, that there is no separation. And if you are feeling separation, I think that's the hardest load. I hope this is a place where you can put that down and come back in for a moment, for a breath, where you can find refuge in our collective care, in the presence we call forth. One of my teachers, Angelica Sievers, offers workshops on crisis and grief. She wants us to understand our nervous systems, and she's given me a beautiful image for what I mean by entanglement. I'm adapting this from a workshop she gave. She started with asking us to imagine the root system of a tree, how it extends deep down into the earth and connects to the nutrients of the earth. You can see that root system in your mind, a little creepy looking, but it's doing its job. Now, if you imagine an anatomical drawing of your skeleton and bones with your circulatory system, all those veins and arteries connected to your generous heart, extending and branching, kind of looks like roots. Because we have inside of us our own body's version of those roots of that tree. This is a reminder that we are deeply connected to nature. There's no separation. Our critical minds may take us out of this experience. We may get in our cars and drive on our highways and feel like we have to go into nature. But we are nature. We can never be separated from it. I think that's one of the challenges we have to overcome. We have to be called back into the family of things. Whenever we feel separated. So I think the opposite of entanglement, of a generosity that can connect us underneath it all. It's actually not a financial metaphor that I'd reach for, although you should all make your pledges. Please do that. But the opposite of generosity wouldn't be stinginess or miserliness or hoarding or holding back. It would be separation. The opposite of generosity is separation. Feeling like we aren't part of this world, of this community. A separation that could prevent us from sharing our joys and sharing our sorrows. I think back to Nelly and Bartholomew, how they looked out for one another, sharing root vegetables that they did not even like, sharing one another's company, sharing quiet, sharing conversation, because good friends can do that. Resisting separation from one another, resisting a separation from the neighborhood, moving toward one another. And Mary Oliver said it too. She said, "Tell me about despair, yours, and I will tell you mine." And Ross Gay says it too. He talks about the mycelium, the roots of joy, the entanglements of being human together. And he says to be in community is to practice our entanglements. We're here to practice our entanglements. We're here to put down some new roots and widen our embrace. Not just the good connections, but the sorrowful connections too. He calls it collaborating toward a kind of collective care. Calling out to one another, harsh and exciting, like the wild geese, as we head home again. So the word generosity is one of our six values as Unitarian Universalists, with love at the center. It can be a hard word to carry. It can carry a sense of obligation, a debt to be paid. But it can also be a root system. It could be a habit of presence. It could be an experiment, an entanglement. It can be a circulatory system that's kept in motion by our generous hearts, by our large-heartedness for one another, a gift that is a joy to share. And that might be actually how you know that it's generosity, how you know that it's connection. I keep seeing all these warnings when I use search engines. They say, generative AI is experimental. And when these messages come up for me in the coming weeks or months, I'm going to try to translate them, and maybe you can too. Instead of generative AI is experimental, I'm gonna say generosity for you use is experimental. It's something we learn by practicing our entanglements. It's something we do together. It's how we will remember how deeply connected we are to one another and to this good green earth. I think it's how we will carry each other on the way. May we be the ones to make it so.